Good morning, Liberian. Good to be with you this morning. Joining you again, myself and Pastor Lena Thompson and Pastor Paul Kim. As we share again in the Word of God this morning, we invite you to join us and in the chat box and join the conversation that we're having this morning. And feel free to share and posit some ideas and what's coming to your heart, and even prayers, even the things that are coming to mind that you would like us to think through in terms of prayer with you. And so it's always a pleasure to serve in this way, and all of us are glad that in spite of the continued inability to be together, we're finding ways to share the gospel with each other and to celebrate Jesus Christ together. So this morning we'll be talking from and sharing on Luke 5 and the story as it goes that they were fishing, they were fishermen, and there was some it's so interesting just to parenthetically, right? We're talking about fishermen in the age of technology, and yet, as we were discussing, there's some powerful truths here for us to really wrestle with. And I'm not so sure I understand them all. That's not the point, right, Pastor Linus? I mean, there's a lot here, from vocation to call to the church to there's just a lot to chew on here. What are some of the things that come to mind for you? Start us off.
First of all, this particular story has always had its historical significance for me because I first learned about this story in Sunday school with this cute little song about "I will make you fishers of men." And so, "I will make you fishers of men if you follow me."
Yes.
So as a child, as a little girl, 5 years old in Sunday school, I knew right away this is bogus. Because I knew, fishers of men, I remember asking my Sunday school teacher, "What about girls?" And we laugh about it now, but even as an adult Christian woman, I realized sometimes how kids pick up different things about who's in and who's out. And so this particular story of, Jesus' invitation, which says, "Don't be afraid, from now on, you will catch, men, be a fisher of men." So there's a lot there in terms of identity for me, how I had to sort of figure out my way into this story. But then there's that whole other piece about the identity or the vocation of the Christian, which is to go catch people, which we can talk about later, but that was always an interesting thing that I struggled with. That feels kind of violent, actually. Go get them. We can talk more about that, but those are just some initial thoughts.
So would you say that, in your opinion, both of you, would you say that this is an often misunderstood text?
I think I would say that, yeah, that we've often used, Pastor Lena used the word violence. Sometimes this passage has been used violently, I think. And the way we're gonna go make people Christians, so to speak. I mean, that's part of our history.
It seems kind of like violent too, because it's like, we're going to catch you.
Yeah.
So there's part of that to me that even as a child, as a child, I was like, this seems like tricky, like it's manipulative in some ways, right? And so as someone who, like, if you were to put me earlier in my life, on those what are your gifts kind of thing, one of the places that I really scored very strongly in terms of my quote unquote gifts is evangelism, right? And so this passage and others paired with a gift set that I kind of had, which was evangelism. The folks that trained me really like honed into that. And I think evangelism for me, to me, an evangelist is someone who's like, can't, you know, I'm excited about the things that I get excited about. And when I get excited about it, then I want everybody to be a part of it. It could be, I mean, no, I don't want to like diminish, but literally it could be the gospel and it could be a really good movie, you know? So when I get excited about something, I just want everybody to be part.
Well, and to be evangel, right, is to herald, to speak out, right? Wow, look who's coming. This is great. Like, right, it's evangel. But catching fish mm-hmm. and evangel are not the same. But in the ways we've talked about this text in my past as a kid who grew up in church, we equated the two. Right, Paul, this is where I hear you saying, this may be where some of the damage is done, is to be an evangel of the gospel, just to message the gospel, just tell everyone about it and go, here's the good news, means that you're out there wrestling up people like fish.
Right. I mean, our mission theology, sometimes, I mean, we have to examine those things and whether does this verse lead to colonization, Christian colonization, right, is a serious question for us. And how is our Christian faith colonized on the backs of, I mean, like using this verse? Mm-hmm. And what kind of violence have we perpetrated on others to make them conform to what we believe is to receive and follow Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, 500 years of mission history will tell you that you're right in the vein of what current missiologists or people who think about the way the gospel is extended into the world would go, yeah, this scripture is thought through in a colonial way, and we need to decolonize this text. We need to take the colonial imperial nature of this text out of it, because it wasn't Jesus' intent. In fact, it may actually have other intent that we miss because we're thinking about the colonial approach to this text.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, admittedly, that is the frame, right, that most of us have, you know, have to retrain or reimagine or, you know, lift up the other options. I was reading someone earlier in this week, and it's interesting how easily we have adopted a Western narrative as the center of the story. Like, this is the only reading, and this reading is the right reading, right? And so when you introduce other ways of seeing it, it feels threatening to this other narrative because nobody challenges that narrative.
Well, and I'm not even sure that evangelism or, you know, conversion is the center of the story anyway. Right? But we've focused our attention because that's what we can grasp onto without exploring the other nuances and other themes that are brought forth in this passage.
Right. And in fact, in this text, the statement that Jesus makes, I will make you fishers of men, is not one that is said as a statement to everybody. It's not everybody's call who was present at that event, right? The way the text reads is that Jesus speaks to the crowd and says, you know, come bring the, they all go, there's enough fish for everybody. So everybody come, right? All come and we'll get to that. But then Jesus makes the statement about, I will make you fishers of men. And then some dropped their nets and followed him. And it's those who are responding to that particular call. And what we end up doing is universalizing that statement to mean everybody in that context who was there at that historical time was told, I will make you fishers of men. And that's where the colonialization begins, because now it's this thing that we have to then proliferate as a act that we do, as opposed to what actually happened in the text, which was when they got tired of fishing, Jesus stepped in. Mm-hmm. And the haul doesn't come from their work. Mm-hmm. the haul comes because of Jesus's work.
Right.
Jesus was working them fish.
Mm-hmm. I think the idea of Jesus's work and, you know, how this connects to the, you know, who are we in this story, right? Why do we always think that who we are in the story is the fishers of men?
Right.
We're actually not the fish, right? That we're caught up, that we're caught up in abundance, as Paul was saying earlier, just, is this a possibly a message of, you know, God's abundance, abundant provision? And there's, you know, the other theme in here, I think, Tally, that you said, and I know we'll get to this, but, the story of community. Mm-hmm. In this passage, like everybody was a part, and, you know, they called for help.
Right.
And then everybody benefited, you know, everybody got some fish that day.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the reality that whatever Jesus was up to, however one wants to think about that, it just didn't benefit. Right, that his disciples, essentially, right, the group, they ended up calling others to help bring in the haul. And I wonder out loud, I'll just say this in my own thinking about this text, I do wonder if at times we are very, I'll use this word, myopic, narrowly viewing the work of the church as kind of what happens on our corner, as opposed to what God is up to is inclusive of us. And maybe what if we had a wider view of how God was at work at Lake Burien, or of how God was at work at whatever church you find yourself, that God is at work in the neighborhood, God is at work in the city, and that maybe the haul, quote unquote, right, the fish or whatever God is doing, is just much bigger than how we focus in on a narrow kind of view of the work. But that I can understand why we do that though, right? Because we have to think about sermons each week. We have to think about coming to church. We have to think about all these little myopic things, but yet there's still a kind of, we want to draw all people to the work that is happening. But I don't know if I've always thought about it like that. In fact, I would say more than most, I don't like this text because it calls me out.
I don't like.
What were you saying?
I don't like this text.
And maybe that's the invitation that we can see in the passage when Jesus says, "Cast your net out to the deep." I mean, first of all, number one, what does Jesus have anything to do with fishing? Like, what's his business in all of this? When the fishermen just got done and they're like, no, there's no fish out there. But Jesus's invitation to go to the deep was to come out of that myopic view, the professional view of what's going on, to go beyond the limits of our understanding into God's abundance and beyond our relations to God's realm, so to speak. That's what brings up for me in hearing what you've just said, you know, this myopia that we have. And God knows we all have myopia because we're just staring at screens all day these days, but what can we see beyond, right?
Yeah. Do you feel like there is a deeper, and this is less maybe about the text and more about what you all as pastors are discerning in this moment about what is the deeper waters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about this before too, like the deep water was kind of a scary place. It was always in those times, it was kind of like not safe, unknown, don't know what's out there, right? And I definitely feel like we're in deep water right now, not just because of the things that we know, that we've all seen, mm-hmm. some deep water. But then the things that we still don't know, there's still a lot of, you know, like fear for our country, for the church. There's just a lot, and I think it's deep water, and it would be really safe for us as a church to kind of pull it back and let's stay closer to shore, you know? And yet I do think that this is a moment where, you know, we are being invited by God to, you know, come away from the shore, even though we don't know. However, what we do know is that there's life in, right? I don't know what that looks like. It sounds kind of scary.
Right. And God's abundance is out there in the deep, right? Mm-hmm. Passage demonstrates that. God's abundance is out there in the deep, beyond our limitations, beyond our understanding, beyond our comfort zone.
Mm.
We become professional Christians as much as they were professional fishermen. And Jesus, I think, is in this passage, is inviting us beyond that.
Did you just say professional Christians?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I just need to stop right there and acknowledge that I am a professional Christian. And my name is Tally. No, but you're right. I think too, Paul, I'll ask you this. The damage, what damage is done when we take a perspective that we're professional Christians in this moment, right? And that the deep waters, Lena, the abundance is in the deep. Uh-huh. Can I just go to church and come home? Is that good enough? Like, can I just log in on Zoom and right? It can feel somewhat overwhelming to say the abundance of God is in the deep waters, not just about the church, but let's say the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Or my vocation, that God is calling me not to take the easy way out and just stay by the shore, but vocationally, what does it mean for me to be about that deep water work? So I don't want nothing to do with that.
Like, well, we even if you just like at a personal, very personal level, that people that are listening, and we all know that the ways that we experience the deepest part of God's grace is when we go to the deep places in our own personal lives. Mm. Deep, you know, the pain in our life, the suffering in our life, the disappointment. When we are faced with those situations, whether they are surprising to us or, you know, whatever it is, we all can say that those are the places that we most, I hear people say it all the time, I felt closest to God, right? But nobody wants to go there by choice. And I wonder right now, so that's an individual, but as a community of faith, as the Christian church, as the church, you know, what does it mean to hold that and go, might we find the abundance and the grace of God in the deep places? That's what we're saying. And like you said, and you know, that's a tough like thing to think about. You know, I'd rather stay, you know, pull it in and be a little bit closer to the shore.
So let's write the story and see if you guys agree with me, okay? From what I hear you saying, the deep waters often represent the places of God's abundant grace. Uh-huh. That we often shy away from because they're also some of the darkest and roughest waters of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. That's.
I want to say amen, but I don't want to go there.
Just say it to yourself.
I know.
Oh yeah, I mean, and you know, so. This is the story. This is the story of Jesus, the cross, crucifixion, suffering, right? You can't go to those places of resurrection, grace and abundance and all of that until you die. That's the weird part about the call to, you know, follow. Because I do think, Tally, that the way that you just described it is something for us to really wrestle with. You know, when we ended last year with this idea of who are we becoming, this is who we're becoming.
I do think that, Paul, when, you know, the work of being a pastor, to, let's say, individuals who are trying to move into the deep waters, where, so once again, the place where God's grace dwells, where once they have stopped laboring and are tired, grace takes over, right?
Wow.
Right? But these are, these vocationally right now, right? Wouldn't these be teachers?
Yeah.
Wouldn't these be social workers?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't these be counselors who are asking people move away from the shore, come out to the deep, you know, who are relying on God's grace to show up, tired, extra hours, trying to figure out this new world, right? That's, for me, that's where I hear that and I feel that. Like,
yeah.
These are people in deep waters right now with people who are young people and people who need therapy, who are going through real mental and emotional challenges right now, and mm-hmm. pastors who are trying to figure out how to do church in different ways and deep waters. Those are the vocations that come to mind. Are there some that come to mind for you, or how would you even encourage people who are out there doing that kind of fishing?
Right. Yeah, that invitation to the deep places. I think that's a call for all of us. As you've named some people who are folks that are currently leading us down those things, those ways. But I think that's the work of the church for all of us. And wherever we find ourselves, I think the question is, what are those deep places that we've boxed out, because we're boxing God out of those places. And if we can be on that journey ourselves and see where God is calling us to, I think we will find those places of abundance. Earlier, I joked about being professional Christian, and I talk about that because we've wrapped this thing up really good. We made it look really nice. But what we're discovering is that it doesn't work. And so we have to go to our own places of darkness to find out and root out those things so that we can actually experience the abundance of God in our communities and to help our congregations and our community go to those places of God's abundance, because that's for all. And you've outlined that earlier. I mean, this passage, the boats were so full that they were sinking, and everyone got a bit of fish, right? The disciples just let them go and they followed Jesus, but everyone got something out of that because people were willing to go to the deep.
Mm-hmm. Lena, there are times in our friendship through the years where we found ourselves in deep waters of life, right?
Right.
And one thing that I'm reminded of is when we do get back to shore and there's this experience of God's abundant grace, the last thing you think about is how much fish you caught or how successful you've been. There's just this presence of, I just want to follow Jesus from here. Like, I just want to be with Jesus. I want to walk with that grace some more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a good reminder, like, because when we risk ourselves to go to places that are the invitation, like when we say yes, the invitation to follow, right? If we trust that what meets us is the abundance, right? What that always produces is more desire, right? To keep, and I think, you know, what I think I know all three of us, I think when people love Jesus, and this is going to sound like so corny probably, but you know, and it's not an inch deep love, right? It's a hard love. It's a love that calls us into service. And the more you follow and love God and know God more, the more you realize it leads you to justice, right? Because you can't have love and not have justice. So I want to fold that into this conversation, that the fruit of our love produces life for everybody, the abundance of life for all people. And so, you know, I think what this passage is, you know, kind of conveys for me is this idea that that kind of love that's abundant produces more abundance in community, which to me always means that everybody has what they need. You know, an abundant community means everybody has what they need. And what it, I think, as Christians, the particular call for us is to go to some places that are not going to be comfortable.
What would be one thing you'd leave for us, Paul, that it doesn't close us out, but at least helps us finish this with a sense of direction?
One, God may be calling us to the deep places when we're most tired and we're just done with it.
Wow.
Simon and the others were just done. They're like, no more fish out there. And it's that moment Jesus walks by and says, no, I want you to go back out and throw it out into the deep. So
wow.
That may be something that we need to think about. The other thing that occurs to me is that it's only when they did that they experienced that abundance. And then they concluded, oh my God, especially Simon Peter, Simon says, get away. He recognizes that it's the Lord in front of him. He saw what happened and he came to believe. And I am not an advocate of all things where you have to see it in order to believe. I'm not saying that, but those of us who believe will have to help others be able to see. And I think that's the work of the church. If the church claims that we do believe in this Christ, the good news, Christ Emmanuel, God Emmanuel, then we have to do the work of going to the deep so that others can experience the abundance of God, see it, and maybe come to believe themselves. That's the work of the church, I think.
Thank you, Paul. Great. Well said.
Very much.
Yeah.
I would encourage people to go back over the passage again that Sam read for us, Luke 5, 1 through 11. And, you know, just kind of sit with this notion of the deep. And I also want to say that we're, as a community of faith, I mean, we don't, this is a community kind of identity. Like, who are we? And Tally talked about, you know, that to resist the myopic kind of tendencies, but you know, this idea of this net being something that's cast out, and it includes a lot. I mean, it's not like someone on the edge of a dock, you know, fishing with a fishing pole. I don't know anything about fishing, but I do know that there's that. But this kind of fishing isn't that kind of fishing. This is a net that's very broad. It's cast really wide. And I think that to me is an exciting image to think about as we think about who we are in community. The community is, we don't start necessarily here with just kind of us, but it's a very much of a God's expansive love for all people in all places. And so I think that's kind of what I'm left with, and hope folks will think about.
Well, God bless you, everybody. It's so good to be with you. And it's just our pleasure to be able to serve this way. So thank you for the emails and the text and everything, but just realize it's our pleasure and our a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel in this way. So God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.